I'm going to show you a picture. So Mark lent me a book called The Worship Journey or something. I'm going to look for it now. Oh, wait. Before I do that, let me just, the key points I'm going to share. Taryn, can you give me a tissue, if you don't mind? Oh, there's one in my bag. Okay, so the key points for today is, this is my sense. This is the five things I'm going to share with you. The first one is that there is an invitation. It feels like a fresh invitation to greater intimacy with God where, so that we will not only hear here every Sunday or around us. Thank you. But that we would truly understand what God is trying to tell us, where he's leading us. That we won't only see, but we will perceive a new and renewed hope of a calling that he has for each of us. So that's the key. This is it. Like, this 4 years of what I felt was quite dark, especially the first two when I gave up my role as director at True North. But there was, in the second year, it was very dark. But by the third year, I felt like God gave me a new glimpse, a little vision, like a very short one, like a 5-point little picture. And all of a sudden, I was, okay, I can do this. I don't have all the details, but I can do this. I have a sense of where I'm going. And I think that's the thing, is this a renewed hope and a sense of where God is actually leading us. What does he actually want from us? Because if we have that, it's like, you know, many things are forgiven if we have a sense of direction. And then this point of we have this incredible power, God's Holy Spirit within us. Again, it is only possible because Jesus sits at the center of it all and what he has done for us. And I'll show you, borrowed from Derek, thank you, just kind of like context of the scriptures that we're going to use and how Jesus always sits in the middle of it. It's amazing. And then, but this new invitation and stepping in won't be easy. Our culture and what is around us does not make this thing an easy. So there is no promise of once we step in and once we continue on this road that it's going to be all of a sudden magical and easy. It will be wonderful and joyous because Jesus is with us, but it won't be easy. And then we are the body and we are called to mature individuals. It is, we are with Christ responsible for our formation. We can no longer be infants tossed by every kind of wave and teaching, like there is a growing up to do because we are it. There's just over 8 billion people in this world, a third of them are apparently Christian. I don't know what kind of Christians, but I have not seen a lot of and giving ourselves up for Christ in various ways, in various forms. So that is the point. So the scripture we're going to look at is this. For this reason, this is Paul speaking to maybe not the Ephesians, maybe. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking. One other version says, I ask and I ask the God of our Master. I think it's the Passion Translation. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, when I've heard this many times, the same power that Jesus had from the dead, I'm like, oh, what does that even mean? But it seems powerful. Rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is evoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come, in this age we are in. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Yeah, I pray, Father God, that just as we go through these few points, that only your words would be evident and our hearts and our minds would be open to really hear and see. Amen. So, all right, I'll first tell you. Yeah, Mark gave me this book, and one of the things in the book is at the end of each chapter you do a reflection or meditation. So the question is, find a picture for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in your mind. It's like, oh, I was sitting there and it was quite hard. But anyways, a picture emerged. And the thing that I saw was that I saw this big cupboard. You know, like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, like the Narnia cupboard. And that represented God. Then I saw hands holding each other, and that represented Jesus. And then the strangest picture is that of a dancing ballerina, but you know, not any ballerina. You know that ballerina that used to dance in a jewelry box, kids' jewelry box? You know, when you open it, it starts dancing. But this ballerina was released. It was no longer just turning in the jewelry box. It, like, you don't have to wind it up for it to turn. It was released, and that represented the Holy Spirit. And so, obviously, I tried my very best to represent this. But I then asked Andrew to put it into ChatGPT, because I've never used it. And this is what came out. I was like, it's quite close. But also, the other thing that I saw is somebody wrote this. Who is the person that wrote this on the wall there in one of those papers here today? It says, everyone enters the auditorium to receive a gift of a new box, a new pair of shoes for the season ahead. Some will require hiking boots and other dancing shoes. Who wrote this? Darren. Oh. Anyway, so it's a prophetic word that she wrote on the wall, which obviously I didn't know it was you. This is just wonderful. And this is how God speaks to us. There's breadcrumbs everywhere. If only we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And this is why Paul, I think, so feverishly asked God. I ask and I ask and I pray. Give these people understanding, eyes to see, ears to hear. Because, like, when he spoke to his disciples in Matthew, and he said, why do you speak to these people in parables? He says, because it's like Isaiah says, they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, you know? But you are different. You have been given the mystery, the gift, all these things. Like, either there was not understanding of it, or the roots not mature enough, there wasn't enough roots, or just the pressures of the world, money and fame and whatever else comes, it steals it away. And I think that's the prayer, is that, like, how do we change that? What is it about our perspective? Because it's not like you can just stop working and go, like, I'll just sit here and not work and pay my bills, you know, whatever it is. It's not like a case of, oh, maybe for some, I don't know, but there's a new perspective, an alignment with Christ that makes you hope and love and peace. So this incredible power that, you know, Mark was inspired. This series is not just, it would be nice, you know. It is inspired by Mark, and he spoke about, let's do a series on Edify, and link the gifts of the Spirit. And when I did a huge delve into the gifts of the Spirit, because I didn't know too much about them, you know, like how I would want to. And so firstly he said edify, and I was like, I don't even know what that means. So I had a little look to see what edify means. But it's basically to build something up, to construct something, to make home, and then to help support others' development, character, to encourage, to move alongside them, to make sure that we basically mature and grow up and be there for one another. And that is the kind of crux of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the scriptures that was given to all of the preachers was these ones, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians, because that's where you find all the, you know, all, and I just thought, oh, for good measure, we'll list them. Now, Costa did a good job at kind of categorizing them, you know, because it's helpful. But I thought I'm going to leave them all in one basket for today and not categorize them. There's 20 of them. And the reason why I did that was that in my journey as a Christian, I've always felt like some of them were kind of like slightly higher than others, you know. Now, Paul does say, seek you know, certain gifts, and he mentions prophecy specifically. So there are some that feels to be more important, and especially prophecy, every one of them. So there are two beautiful ladies here in our church, Laura and Karen Bailey. I don't know if you who have noticed that sometimes there's just cake randomly at the back at the end of the service. You know, and like, who does that? Who wakes up on a Sunday or even a Saturday, buys all the ingredients and bakes cake for a whole church? Now, if that is not giving and serving and using this incredible gift, then what is the gift of the Spirit? One of the translations says that you would have endless energy and boundless strength. Now, I'm sure everybody here is feeling that at the end of the year. Endless energy and boundless strength is basically how the Holy Spirit is depicted in one of the translations. But it does take endless energy and boundless strength to get up and make that cake, to bake the bread for when we have, like, it's not that mystical. There are things that we don't understand, how we get pictures, how healing, like these wonderful things, but they are also just things that takes that same energy that we don't give the same place in the church. Okay, so Paul says these are the reasons for the gifts of the Spirit. Firstly, to equip us for works of service. So that's a good example. To build up the body of Christ, to encourage one another, to create unity in the faith, to do it together, like that home group, all went out together, wonderful. To increase in the knowledge of the Son of God, intimacy and understanding, and to be able to perceive and to become mature individuals, forming a mature community, fully walking in our calling. Okay, so that I saw as I was delving very deeply into the gifts of the Spirit is this. The gifts are all listed, which is really wonderful, but the things around it is what stood out for me when I was reading the gifts of the Spirit. And there's in and around the gifts, so on both sides, like in each of the paragraph, Paul mentions humility 13 times. He mentions one body that we all belong to 6 times. He mentioned different gifts to different people 8 times, given by God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, according to his grace. So again, by his grace, not by our conjuring it up, but by his grace 10 times, and he mentions love 8 times. Now, hopefully I'm counting it right, but you get the idea. Like, do not think of yourself too highly. Honor one another above yourself. Do not be proud. Do not have an exaggerated sense of self-importance. One body, many parts. One body has many parts, so it is with Christ. There's one body, one Spirit. Not all have the same function. Each have different gifts according to the grace given to us by the same Spirit distributed to us. We're all baptized in the same Spirit. And so I thought that this is really important, that if we're going to step into this new invitation and we are going to pick up new shoes, pick up these gifts that is available to us, this, I feel, was almost the most important thing. Like, let us stay humble, let us be one together, knowing that not everybody will have the same thing, so we don't have to compare ourselves to the next one, and it is given by God's grace, and above all else, all these gifts might cease, everything might stop, but the greatest of these of love, and if any of these gifts cause harm, then we know, like, because the greatest and overarching thing is love. I'm finishing up my theology studies this term, and this last term was about biblical interpretation, book by Derek, and another one, Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And basically, it's about context. It's about reading scripture within the context, in the culture maybe, reading the Bible, because both Ephesians, Romans, and Corinthians, well, Ephesians and Romans have similar structures, and Romans and Corinthians have a different one. Corinthians is just a letter that Paul responds to, and he goes through various issues that he responds to the church. speaks about division over leaders, sexual immorality, lawsuits among believers, a married and single life, etc., etc., etc. And then he says, now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. But the thing that I want, and how beautiful it is, speak at, is Ephesians and Romans. And how beautiful it is, because the whole letter has this kind of structure where he starts off with, hi, everybody, you know, I've missed you, I want to come visit you again. Can I remind you about the gospel, that it's available for everybody? And then he reminds people what Christ has done for them. And he says, none of us are without sin or perfect. We are dead in our transgressions, but God is righteous, and his judgments are based on truth. It's not our place to judge. God's righteousness is firstly made known through the law and prophets, and then given to us through faith in Jesus. Because of God's great love for us and his rich mercy, we have been justified, saved through faith. We have peace, love, hope, freedom from the law, no more condemnation. We've received the Spirit, and we follow the Spirit and let our minds be governed by it. We have life. We are his children. We might suffer and face death, but we are more than conquerors, and we have an eternal home. We know how the story ends. And just what I love about it is that good news. And then he goes, therefore, you know, it's not do this in your own strength. It is because of what Jesus has done for us. And we all know this, but like, is it going to seep deep in our bones? Like, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship, not to conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And so it's through this lens of what Jesus has done for me, who he is, and therefore I can, by the help of the Holy Spirit. It is not separate. It is not we try and be this kind of living sacrifices, you know, in our own strength, but we do it because we deeply understand what Jesus has done for us. And then similarly with Ephesians, he says, so all of that again, similar structure, and then he goes, then I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling you have been received, or you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. So again, it comes after he's explained again to the Ephesians, like, this is, it's available to you all, this is what Jesus has done, and so therefore, that is where we're going. So, but like I said, stepping into this new invitation, or I don't want to say new, but fresh. I mean, the invitation is there for us all the time, isn't it? But I think, like I said, I'm just hoping, and from what we've heard recently from various preachers, and Mark kind of coming up with this series, is that there is a kind of calling, a fresh invitation to really hope that we will be inspired to go sit and read our Bibles. We actually will be inspired to go to a prayer meeting, not I'm going because I have to and because I'm obliged to, but it won't be easy. And so I spoke to Daniela because I came up with only the enemy coming against us, and my goodness, is he coming. But there's also just cultural things in and around us that really holds us back from stepping into this. Just keep in your mind that picture of this cupboard. Like, God is solid, like he knows what he's doing, but he's opening the doors, and it is a sure and solid invitation that Jesus is there with us. He's holding our hands. We are not going alone, and not only is Jesus with us, but we are with one another. We are going together. Follow. But there's distractions. This was Daniela's one, because I didn't think of it. I'm like, oh, yes. You know, whether it's phone or other things. The next one, fear of disappointment or being shown as foolish. Like, how many times did I felt like, I'm not going to say this to somebody. I'm not going to share the picture that I got for them. I don't even want to say this, what I'm saying here today, because what if that's foolishness? Like to hope for something that might not come, you know? And then you've said it. You've said, like, this is what I think. And then it doesn't happen, you know? So the fear of the not yet is, my encouragement is that we, yeah, stop being scared of being foolish in a good way, you know, not like the fools in Psalms, but, you know, just foolish for Christ to try and to step into these things in the hope, in holding hope that the Spirit has been released. Busyness, perfection, like I said, obligation. There's so much of this culture that's moving us into one direction. And to not choose this will be really easy. Like I said, how am I going to pay my bills? Like, I have to work, guys, and it takes all my time. I'm very important, and you really are in that world. Like, you're the boss, or, you know, or who's going to get their groceries if I'm not here at the till? So it's not, like I said, it's not a case of not doing the things that in the world that God has called us to, but having a perspective of, yes, this, but what else are you calling me while I'm doing this? And that it be my whole body is sacrificed for it. And then past patterns and influences, things that are unresolved. You know, we often speak about thriving or living this kind of full life, but there's so much of our past patterns that hold us back, just the way we've done it before. And to make time to really see yourself as God's son and daughter, that you are worthy, and spend the time to start looking and sorting them out, so that when you are freed from them by God's grace, you can be a gift to those around them. That all these patterns of, yeah, but if I don't do it, then nobody else is going to do it. You know, there is an end and a stop, that our minds are renewed by God. And so this is the song that, because this is the other thing that I want to say, is that when the worship team comes up with new songs, it is by no mistake. We cannot possibly sit here and think that that is not inspired. And so we have to trust the Holy Spirit that He is inspiring everybody here for whatever reasons. And this has been one of the songs that has recently been added to, well, I feel like it's been recent. And it's about, I can see waters rising at my feet. So yes, I'm stepping in, but it might be dangerous. I mean, Tim spoke to us about the Holy Spirit. I don't know who was here, but I was so blessed by what he said about God calling us into deeper and deeper water. And it's okay just to be in the shallows. But if you've been in the shallows, like, go a little bit further, you know. And so you can see that God's calling us into this raging sea. And it's interesting that it's a raging sea, not a calm Mauritian sea. I can feel the breath surrounding me, of those surrounding me, togetherness. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, and we will not be overcome. I can walk, even though it's dark, but I can face the fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. Oh, that reminds me. In the picture, when I asked Andrew to put this picture, the other one, into ChatGPT, I mean, my people that were in there were adults. I don't know if you realized, but it was very obvious. Anyways, but no matter what Andrew did, ChatGPT would not put adults in the picture. Even though we asked him to, he kept putting children in the picture. It's like, oh, anyways. But then it struck me, oh, genius, God. Like, we are going to need children. Like, we've said it before, there's a need for children walking alongside us and taking us forward. Like, they have an incredible hope and understanding and a simplicity. Yes, we will need them mature as well. Like I said, we're all maturing. But there's a simplicity and a childlikeness, and taking them with and helping them go along the way is important. And then it says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. in his strength, not our own, there's nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken and we will not be overcome. And so every time next year when we are stepping into difficult things, I pray that you'd remember, I will not be overtaken. And I've also spent a bit of time in Psalm 46 recently, and it speaks about Jesus being our refuge. And it goes, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. And the whole earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see. If we are examples, if the Holy Spirit is in us and for us and working through us, we will be an advertisement for those around us. It will be so compelling that he is here. The living waters are in his church and it is flowing and he is our refuge. And later on in the scripture it says, but be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. There's such a surety that whatever might come next year, whether it's personal difficulties, because when we mature and when God cuts some of our stuff off, it's not very nice. So it might be personal difficulties that you might feel like it's a bit of a raging sea, but it might also be difficulties in our nation, maybe in your family, whatever it is that is difficult. Be still and know that I'm God. And then we are his body. We are it. Mark sent this message to me as I was finishing my preparation. It is God's intent to use each and every one of us to display his splendor for others to see, and so that they can be intrigued to come and go, like, why are these guys bringing us hot chocolate? Like, it's so weird, but it's so good. You know, it's so good, it's so wonderful, it's so surprising. And there must be something here. There must be something interesting here, you know? And so I think that's the end of what I've prepared. But I do want to just take a moment to pray for us, and maybe Mark can come up after me. And just like for those of us that are also frustrated with the not yet, that is also kind of like really keen for things in your heart and your mind to change, for a greater showcase of God's glory and goodness, the manifestation of his Spirit in and around us, that our daily lives are one of, could be boring, and that's fine, and that there's a goodness in there, and we are released, and we do find freedom. Do you want to lead once I've prayed? Yeah, Father God, I'm just so incredibly grateful for you and for this opportunity and for what you are promising us, and this kind of like renewed hope that we have or we sense. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, that it's because of you that we can stand here. And I know that whatever we sometimes hear or see or say is not new. Like, we know you, we know your story, we know about this, but I pray and I ask, open our eyes, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a courage to share your goodness with others. Amen.